My brother looked around, then went over to a nearby stack of steel dumbbells and picked up the largest set there, one in each hand. With about as much effort as I'd used to bundle twigs, he twisted the steel bars around one another, forming an asymmetric X shape. He held it up to make sure Billy saw it, then dropped it at her feet. The weights landed with a forceful thump, and Billy flinched when they did.
"You should see the kind of things he can bend and break," I said. "Expensive exercise machines, expensive furniture, expensive clients. I don't know how hard he could throw some of this stuff around, but I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't kind of curious." I leaned down a little closer and said, "Billy, maybe you should kick this one up the line. I'd hate them to dock your pay to replace all the broken things."
"I'll be right back, sir,"
Billy said in a squeaky whisper and scurried away.
"Subtle," Thomas noted.
I shrugged. "It saves time. How did you get a membership to a place like this?" "It's Marcone's place. He thinks I'm less likely to trash it if I'm dazzled by friendly boobs."
"Can't say that I blame him," Thomas admitted.
His eyes locked onto one particular girl who was currently at a table filling out paperwork. She froze in place and then looked up very slowly. Her lips parted as she stared at Thomas, and her dark eyes widened. She started breathing faster, and then shook herself and hurriedly looked down again, pretending to read her paperwork. My brother closed his eyes slowly and then turned his head away from the girl with the kind of steady, deliberate motion one uses to shut a heavy door. When he blinked his eyes open again, their color had shifted from deep gray to a pale gray-white, almost silver.
"You okay?" I asked him quietly.
"Mm-hmm," he murmured. "Sorry, got distracted. There's a kind of energy here." Which I probably should have thought of, damn it. This building was home to constant regular acts of lust and desire. Those kind of activities left a sort of psychic imprint around them, a vibe Thomas must have picked up on. Vampires, like my brother, take not blood, but life energy from their victims. Showing off his supernatural strength might have simplified things for us, but it also cost Thomas some of that energy. The same way an afternoon of hiking might leave you and me particularly hungry. Usually vampires of the White Court fed during the act of sex. They could induce desire in others, overwhelm their victims with undiluted primal lust. If he wanted to, Thomas could have paralyzed the girl where she stood, stalked over to her, and done whatever he pleased to her. There wouldn't have been anything she could do to stop him. Hell, she would have probably begged him to do more, and to hurry up about it. He wouldn't do it, not anymore, anyway. He'd fought that part of himself for years, and he'd finally found a way to keep it under control. By feeding in the equivalent of tiny, harmless nibbles from the customers in the upper-tier beauty salon he owned and operated, I gathered that while it did enable him to remain active and in control of himself, it was nowhere near as satisfying as acquiring energy the old-fashioned way, in a stalking seduction culminating in a burst of lust and ecstasy. I knew that his hunger, that inhuman portion of his soul that was driven by naked need, was screaming at him to do exactly that. If he did, though, it could do the girl serious harm, even kill her. My brother wasn't like that, but denying his hunger wasn't something that came naturally. It was a fight, and I knew what drove him to it. "That girl looks a little like Justine," I commented. He froze at the name, his expression hardening. By gradual degrees, his eyes darkened to their usual color again. Thomas shook his head and gave me a wry smile. "Does she?" "Enough," I said. "You okay?" "As I ever am," he said. He didn't actually thank me, but it was in his voice. I pretended that I hadn't heard it there, which was what he expected me to do. It's a guy thing.